Good evening, everybody. Good morning. Good very early morning. It is 2:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and we're recording a podcast because we have gone completely insane. Good night.
It's amazing that he can sleep on the concrete floor in the bunker.
David, wake up. Wake up.
Oh, are they finally done? What happened? Are they finally done reviewing?
The referees are done reviewing the
replay. Oh, okay. It only took about 20 minutes.
This is Championship Week Video Notebook, day number up to six.
Six.
Says six on Sleek's screen. It must be six. Yep. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We've got David Griggs and John Sleek with me. And we got a lot to go over tonight. Why don't we start with some news and notes at the top of the show here, David?
Yeah, sure.
There was it was the end of the regular season for most of college, of the remaining conferences today, other than the American tomorrow. We saw a lot of interesting games, including Sleeka. Xavier wrapped up the outright Big East Championship today, so congrats to your team.
Yep, and they wrapped it up the same way they have all season long, and that's walking a tightrope even at DePaul.
Yeah, they it was an interesting game. We saw a lot of bubble teams actually winning and picking up nice wins today, which make things a little more interesting next week. Teams like Syracuse winning at Clemson, beating Clemson, Marquette knocking off Creighton.
That was a huge one for Marquette.
Yeah. Texas beating West Virginia, another huge one there.
Yeah, they really needed that one. But yeah, like you said, a lot of bubble teams making good cases for themselves. And in a sense, it ends up they don't really put any distance between themselves and the other bubble teams because all the other bubble teams won. Nice win for UCLA. I think they won. I don't know.
Yeah, UCLA won at USC.
I can't remember.
Another good one there.
But I could also argue that one of the biggest wins was Oklahoma State, because while Kansas won the Big 12 for, I think, the 14th straight year, this is the first time under Bill Self's tenure that someone actually swept Kansas during the regular season.
Yeah. Huge win for Okie State. Absolutely sweep of Kansas. And the possibility of a 9 teams from the Big 12 making the field is still alive here. And it's March 4th, and that's unbelievable, David.
Yeah, and then what if Iowa State wins the Big 12 tournament? I mean, we could see all 10.
I guess it's theoretically possible.
Yeah, I mean, if it's an Iowa State Oklahoma State final, the bracket would allow for, we're getting all 10 in.
We also have a few bubble teams that did not perform well today. Alabama losing to Texas A&M. Arizona State maybe suddenly on the bubble, losing to Stanford tonight. Bad loss there.
Yeah, Arizona State, in November and December, they beat good teams. They've offset that in February and now March by losing to bad teams.
Also, Florida beat up on Kentucky tonight. And, of course, Duke came back from down 10 in the first half to beat North Carolina in a game that, David, you've got lots of fun facts for us about that one.
Yeah, they're 8 miles apart, never met in the NCAA tournament. I didn't have the sound on, but until the end, and I didn't hear them actually mention that. That must have been a first.
One other bubble team that lost, out of conference, you would say Middle Tennessee suffered a tough home defeat to Marshall tonight. Real disappointing loss for Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, of all the teams we just talked about, I think that one was the most damaging. Losing at home to a team that will likely miss the NIT, with as good as Middle Tennessee is, and they are good, they just don't have the luxury of tripping over themselves, and they did tonight. I mean, they shot themselves in both feet. And are they in a situation now to where they need to win the conference tournament?
And that was also a season sweep for Marshall against Middle Tennessee, which
it was.
Even more bizarre.
Yeah.
Not bizarre. Marshall's a pretty good team, but yeah, that's kind of going to be rough for Middle Tennessee if they don't win the Conference USA tournament. A couple other notes here. Congratulations to Chicago State. Picked up their first D1 win of the season and their first conference win. So we end up with only one team that went winless in conference play, and that was Pittsburgh out of the ACC.
Yeah.
Pathetically bad season for Pitt.
Yeah. And I can't help but notice they're not quite as good as they were when Jamie Dixon was there. Have you noticed? It's a subtle difference.
A subtle difference, yeah. Yes. Under the radar, but a very surprising game in the regular season for nine, the Sun Belt tonight. Louisiana, who had been rolling all season pretty much, lost at home to last place Little Rock.
That
boggled the mind there.
Yeah, that was their only home loss all year.
Yeah, they'd locked up first place and just decided to take the night off, I guess. I don't know what happens there.
But let's – any other news and notes, David, that you want to hit on, or John?
Well, we could go as far as the coaching ranks go. Paul Lusk. Yeah, Paul Lusk is going to be out at Missouri State per reports, and there's also some rumors going on that Thad Matta may be coming out of retirement to coach at Ole Miss, but nothing confirmed there, but just discussions going on as far as we know.
Yeah, stay retired. It's not worth it. It really isn't.
Let's get to what happened on the court today then, and in conference tournaments today. And let's start with we have one team that is absolutely locked in, will be in the big dance. Congratulations to the Murray State Racers, the first team in Ohio Valley Conference Tournament champions.
Yeah, looking really good in both games. I know Jacksonville came back and actually tied that game, but Murray State blew it open early. They jumped out. They were ready. They got out to a big lead. And, again, it was a situation to where Belmont came back, tied it, actually took the lead, and it was a fun game to watch, but in the latter part of the second half, Murray just blew it wide open. And I didn't realize this is their first tournament since 2012. That doesn't sound right. I didn't look it up, but that's what they said during the broadcast. So, and this is a good Racers team. They could really make somebody sweat in the round of 64. So the OVC getting there, probably the team with the best chance of winning a game is the one that got it.
I think, John, I think we're looking at a 13th seed here from Murray State. Would you agree with that approximately?
I would say 13 is where I would have them at the moment, which means you could have a possibility of them facing a one-time Murray State head coach Mick Cronin in round one.
Oh, there we go. If Cincinnati falls to a four, Cincinnati, the biggest non-conference tournament game left of the season is tomorrow, Cincinnati-Wichita State game. If they win that one, I think Cincinnati moves up over a four. But
yep.
Let's talk about some conferences that were in the semifinals today also. I'll tell you what. Let's start with the big one, the Big Ten. There it is. This was this afternoon. It feels like it was 10 million years ago at this point.
But,
we started the day off there with Michigan knocking off Michigan State, ending that 12-game winning streak, and then we followed it up with a Purdue ending the Penn State dreams, David.
I don't think Penn State's getting in. They might. They're going to be on the board. The committee will look at them. They've taken weaker teams, I guess, but I don't think Penn State's getting in. They were right in there for the first half, but they kind of just ran out of juice. Like, their shot just went away, and you got the feeling that they were a little fatigued, and Purdue just kind of opened it up. But how about the other game? Michigan has now won seven straight Big Ten tournament games.
This team is unbeatable in Big Ten tournaments, it seems. John, you going to take them tomorrow against Purdue?
I probably would go with Michigan right here. I mean, Purdue did look a little bit flaky in their first two games, but Michigan has certainly been on fire outside of the Iowa game, which they came close to playing with fire themselves.
Yeah, I think Michigan's the team to beat here. I think Michigan is going to win this game tomorrow. And David, I think Michigan could push them. Can they get a protective seed if they win this one?
They could. I don't think they will, but they could. That's a pretty good profile to suddenly – I mean, where did we have them? 5-6 range as it was. And then you add to that wins away from home, albeit not true road wins, against Michigan State and Purdue. A case can be made. I don't know if they'll land all the way up there just because there's so many moving parts and what's everybody else in these other tournaments going to do, but they certainly could.
But by the same token, if Purdue is able to beat Michigan for the third time, what kind of seed do you think we're looking at for the Boilers?
About the same as it is if they lose the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that Purdue goes down much for losing this game.
Yeah,
I think they would.
I'm talking about if they win.
About the same. They've beaten them twice, so what does a third win really do? And if they lose, they've beaten them twice, so why penalize them? I think,
you know. I'll tell you, let's take a look over another conference in the semifinals at the Missouri Valley today. Where Barry Hinton's SIU Salukis are done, losing to Illinois State. Now, David, this Illinois State team was the team that was the top team out last year. You know, strength of schedule really being the reason they were left out. A team that a lot of people thought deserved a bid last year. And suddenly this year, they may have a shot of getting it.
Yeah, they have a tall order. Loyola's really good. I know that the two games that they played in this tournament have been kind of have been rather competitive, and tomorrow's maybe as well. But yeah, they got a shot. I mean, they're still playing, but it's a lot to assume to think that they can beat Loyola.
I don't know. Loyola's looked beatable these last two games, though, haven't they?
Yeah, I suppose so. So has Illinois State.
Oh, true. John, you want to go with Illinois State, or are you going to stick with Loyola?
Both of these teams are going to be hard luck as far as getting into the field. It's been 17 years since Illinois State has made it. It's been 33 years since Loyola has made it. But I think the Ramblers are going to finally overcome some of their demons and win this one.
Well, I didn't realize it had been 33 years.
But another
all that time, wow.
But another fun fact as far as Loyola goes, they've actually had the highest seed ever for a team out of the MCC/Horizon. That is when they got a 4 seed back in the aforementioned 1985 season, along with a Sweet 16 run that year.
Semifinal day in the Northeast Conference. And we had a hell of a game to start the day off, actually, with the LAU-Brooklyn Fairleigh Dickinson game.
Yeah.
Fairleigh Dickinson had a shot, about a half-court shot to try to win it at the end after they fouled Brooklyn and let them 2 free throws, won the game. But a real fun game there, and won by Brooklyn, David.
Yep, and Brooklyn's still alive, and we got another New York barn burner. I mean, you kind of hate it for the Big Ten that it takes a backseat to this tournament. Next year, I think that's why they're moving it back to Chicago and playing it at a regular time. But yeah, an all New York final. It should be fun. I like Wagner to win it. They've been the most impressive team all year. But apparently, Dickinson is the 6th seed. Really squeezed. LA really squeezed the Blackbirds.
Yeah, they had a real shot there at the end, but that championship game will be coming up Tuesday night, so we'll talk about it again in a couple nights here. But let's look at a couple of conferences that were in the quarterfinal rounds today. Starting off with the America East day one, let's start at the top there. Vermont just slept through the first half, and Maine gave him a scare for a little while there.
Yeah, you look at the final score, and it looks a little more normal, but Maine led for a large portion of this game, and you just wondered what was happening. And, you know, Vermont's at home. The crowd was there. I was impressed with their fans coming out the way that they did. But in the second half, they woke up, I guess. There were a lot of incidents. We'll get to the rest of them in other tournaments. But, Albany-Stony Brook game was close all throughout. UMBC had to come from behind. UMass Lowell probably had the lead for most of that game.
Yeah, and New Hampshire fell down early to Hartford, came back and got close in that one before Hartford put it away. So they were all pretty good games. But ended up being 3 favorites and the 5 over 4. So not much of upsets at the end of the day. But we'll be back again in this one again on we'll talk about it Monday night for these Tuesday matchups though. Vermont, Stony Brook, UMBC, Hartford. I think we all picked Vermont, and I assume we're all sticking there for now.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. It was also quarterfinal. Let's go right to the upset of the day in the Horizon League. Northern Kentucky had an amazing season after making the NCAA tournament last year. And just laid an egg tonight, John. Just completely laid an egg.
It looked like for the first 30 minutes they were going to be just in a survival mode, but with that Cleveland State taking the lead at about the under 4 minute mark, then it turned to full blown panic.
It did. And John, I'm glad you made that observation, because this is, I mean, Branson, he's done a very good job. This is a well-coached team. And I was surprised that first they didn't play well today. That happens. But the way they just came unhinged, I mean, they did. They panicked in a key game. That's the best way to describe it.
And I have to admit, I got this completely backward, because it was, I thought Wright State would be the younger team that would lose its composure, not NKU.
Yeah.
And this is now 3 years that the Horizon League tournament has been in Detroit. The one seed is 0-3 in Detroit. Yeah. The first year, the one seed actually had a bye to the semifinals. It was Valpo. They lost. Last year, the one seed got knocked out in the first round. In the quarterfinals this year, Northern Kentucky knocked out in their first game. Get back to campus sites.
Yeah, they really should. And, on top of that, the attendance has been poor. It's not an exciting atmosphere. It's this cavernous thing. They have a hell of a logo. I love the Motor City Madness logo, but that in and of itself is no reason to keep it in Detroit. And the real shame of it is, 3 years ago, that Valpo team was good enough to where they were very close to the bubble. I think a lot of people were still projecting them in, and for them to miss the tournament entirely. Last year, to be fair, they were kind of snake-bitten with a really bad injury to their best player. But here it is again, 0-3, the first-place team in this tournament. That's remarkable. Had this game been at NKU, it would have been close to full, at least the lower level. There would have been a lot more fans there, and it would have been more fair to a team that, quite frankly, earned the advantage.
But on the flip side, it's also 10 years to the date where Dennis Felton was making a miracle run with Georgia. Could he do the same thing with that Cleveland State here?
There you go. Good one here.
Good one. Wow. John.
John, two more quarterfinals tomorrow. Oakland, IUPUI, Illinois, Chicago, Milwaukee. You see an upset in either one of those?
It's certainly possible with Milwaukee, given their propensity to knock off some heavyweights, including Loyola back in November. Granted, this is a different animal with it not being in Milwaukee, but can Oakland finally win a game themselves in Detroit?
Well, let's go from some exciting and crazy games to something not quite as exciting and not quite as – well, I guess the first one was, though, a little bit there. But the Summit League, the late game was a complete snoozer. South Dakota just completely rolled Omaha. Yeah. South Dakota State, on the other hand, David, needed a little wake-up call late in the game against Western Illinois.
I was convinced, basically just because of what we'd seen from other tournaments, that South Dakota State had lost the game. They were playing awful. Awful basketball, and they were down by, was it 8? 9? Did Western Illinois get up by as much as double digits in the second half? I mean,
close to that until Mike Dahm scored about 3 million points to lead to, like, single-handedly save the team pretty much.
He did, and it saved their season. And it was, I haven't watched all 30 of their games or however many they've played, but I've seen about 10 or 11 of them. This was by far the worst that they've looked, and like I said, they picked a bad day to have their worst day of the season, but they ended up getting it done.
Well, they have tomorrow off. Tomorrow, John, we got two more quarterfinals: Fort Wayne, North Dakota State, Denver, Oral Roberts. Any predictions with those two games?
I think Oral Roberts can be a noisemaker and knock off Denver, but I'll probably go ahead and take Fort Wayne in the other one.
John, you seem to be picking these six seeds, and I want to talk to you about something that you did last night. Because last night you picked a six seed to make a little noise over the Southern Conference. And I think the biggest blowout of the entire day was what Furman did to Western Carolina tonight. Yeah. This game was a complete ass-kicking, David.
Yeah, Furman clearly the most impressive-looking team. The chalk has held, and we actually had it. We'd been saying that for weeks, that by the time this tournament got down to the semifinals, it could be really strong. Wofford, we've seen what they can do. Greensboro, of course, the first place team. How about the Citadel, though? And I don't mean this to make fun of them or as a backhanded compliment. They had a pretty good year by their standards, and they won their first game, and they were in this game all the way up until the under eight.
Yeah, no, that 14-point margin is a completely false margin there. That was about a 5-point game with about 2 minutes left. It was still close all the way until about the last minutes. The other two games, though, East Tennessee State, Wofford, kind of a boring day, actually, the Southern, other than that first one.
Right, but we're through to the semis, and both semis should be good. I mean, East Tennessee State, we liked them. They kind of fell apart in the latter part of the season, but we liked them all the way through. This is a team that went into Xavier and almost beat them there. So, and Wofford went into North Carolina and actually did win there. So some pretty dangerous teams left in this tournament.
And right, to say nothing about Greensboro winning at NC State as well.
Oh, yeah, they did. So, good. Yeah, I'd forgotten about
East Tennessee State almost beating Xavier. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
David, I'm going out of limb here. I'm going to take Furman and Wofford to both pull the upsets tomorrow.
Yeah, I could see them both happening. I think it's a toss-up, more or less.
Okay. Another conference that had four quarterfinals today, just finishing right before we went on the air, was the West Coast Conference, where John Gonzaga.
Well, the referees are still reviewing the monitor, looking at the monitor.
We said last night that the Gonzaga and St. Mary's games would both be snoozers, and instead, both Loyola Marymount and Pepperdine were in these games until late.
Well, the fact that St. Mary's was and Pepperdine was the most exciting game of the day, that's a very dangerous sign for the Gaels right there, who they really don't have enough quality wins to speak of, but this would have been a catastrophically bad loss had that taken place. And they trailed for a good portion of the first 37 minutes. But at the same time, even Gonzaga,
they trailed for the entire first 37 minutes, I think. Not a good portion.
St. Mary's did have a lead early in the game, but even Gonzaga didn't have a picnic against LMU either.
Right.
We actually saw the 4-5 game was a good game also between San Francisco and Pacific.
Yeah, it went into overtime, didn't it? I was watching it,
So David, coming up. Actually, we have the day off tomorrow, so we'll be talking a little bit more about them tomorrow night, previewing Monday's games. Mm-hmm. Gonzaga, San Fran, St. Mary's, BYU. St. Mary's, I'm not confident they get by BYU right now the way they played today.
Yeah, I'm not either, but I think avoiding this loss should be enough to land them in. I know we didn't lock them in, but I do think they're going to make it simply because they avoided the bad loss.
Metro Atlantic. Did you remember the way the Horizon League tournament looked last year when in the quarterfinal round the only non-upset was the 4-5 game? I mean, this is looking like an instant replay of last year's Horizon League. What's going on here?
Yeah.
We started the day off by Fairfield knocking off 3-seed Niagara, and only Iona able to beat Manhattan held seed.
Right. And it was kind of funny because last year we said Northern Kentucky is now the top seed in the tournament, and they did it without even playing a game or beating anyone. Well, you'll never see anything like that again. We saw the exact same scenario.
The only difference between the Metro Atlantic and the Horizon was last year the Horizon had 4-9, 10-6 in the field. Winnipeg won their opening round game, so.
You're right, Chuck, because the first six games, the better-seeded team was 1-5. Here, at least, the seventh seed won in the opening round, as did Fairfield.
David, we got the Battle of Connecticut in one semifinal tomorrow between Quinnipiac and Fairfield, St. Peter's Iona in the other. You see any more upsets? I guess there's only one that could be an upset, really, but what do you see tomorrow?
Well, it's just his manifest destiny. Tim Klus is going to win it. It's in the stars. But how crazy it would be, because this is St. Peter's, the way they're playing, they could win this whole thing as the 9-seed.
I actually liked both St. Peter's and Fairfield heading into the season. I thought they had disappointing seasons. But, you know, this is kind of like a second.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the conference in action today was the Colonial. It was first round day. John, we saw Drexel sneak by James Madison in a fairly close one, and Delaware put Elon out of their misery.
Yeah, a couple bit of appetizers right here, including James Madison, who did have the mump scare in recent weeks.
In watching these games, these were so poorly played that it was a workout just to watch them. And I rarely say that or feel that way, but like I'm just watching it and I'm like, oh my God, this is a horrible game.
David, what about tomorrow? We've got four quarterfinals tomorrow, full day of Colonial action. What do you see? Any upsets? Do you see anything of note here?
I think Townsend takes down William and Mary. It's just, I have not been impressed with them, the Tribe, whenever I've seen them. Apparently, they're pretty good when I'm not watching them, but of the games that I did see them, they didn't just lose. They lost huge. I don't know how big of an upset that is, but I really like how Northeastern's playing right now, and, of course, College of Charleston having this game sort of in their home city. You kind of got to like them, so I think the Chalk's going to hold at least for the 1 and 2. I think that those two teams are clearly playing better than anyone else.
John, what about the nightcap there, the Hofstra-Wilmington game? Can you see Wilmington knocking off Hofstra?
Not this year, but at the same time, I think Northeastern should still have a reasonably easy pack compared to other conferences, at least as far as getting to the championship game here.
A few other conferences we want to go over that were not in action today but are playing tomorrow. It is championship day in the Big South tomorrow. Liberty at Radford. We talked a little bit about it last night, though. John, you sticking with the home team, Radford?
I'll go with Radford right here.
All right, good insight. David, got anything more than that?
I like Radford. I mean, they're at home. I mean, Liberty's played really well in this tournament. I just like Radford a little bit more. It's going to be close, though. It'll be a fun game.
It will be a fun game.
You know what it'll be?
Electric atmosphere, really.
Right. It'll be the inverse of the Metro Atlantic and the Horizon League because they do it right in this conference. It's at campus sites. It will be sold out, and it will be crazy.
Well, one more place that will be sold out and crazy is Florida Gulf Coast. Right. After that, the Big South game, ESPN will go right over to the ASUN championship game. The top two teams, Lipscomb and Gulf Coast. David, this is a game that I think may end up being the best game of the day.
Yeah, it should be. I still like Gulf Coast to win it. I know that they kind of crashed and burned a little bit down the stretch, but I think that was after them clinching it, just getting a little bit bored with the season. But Lipscomb's got it in them to win this.
John?
I think Lipscomb can win this and actually possibly avoid the first four in Dayton if they're able to do so. They actually have better metrics overall compared to Florida Gulf Coast.
It's just so tough to win at Dunk City. That's where you hesitate picking Lipscomb here. That's,
well, they've done it once.
Yeah. Well, which makes it even tougher to do it twice.
Yeah.
It is also semifinal day tomorrow in the Patriot League, where we have BU at Bucknell,
Holy Cross
at Colgate. BU has beaten Bucknell once already this season. Holy Cross, kind of the Cinderella team here, going up against Colgate. I personally think Colgate wins, and I think BU Bucknell is going to be close. I think that the top two seeds sneak it out, though, David.
It's kind of crazy that you say that because I was going to say the same thing. I do think Bucknell gets it done, but I think Boston U is right in the game, and I think Colgate squashes Holy – I was going to say that exact same thing.
Well, then maybe I'll change it. Holy Cross is going to blow out Colgate, and BU is
– Okay, now you're wrong. Now I feel better.
A couple of things that happened today. Actually, let's discuss this here. We had a couple of additional eliminations today, including the final few teams in the Ivy League getting knocked out. I want to show the Ivy League bracket, even though it's not coming up until next weekend. Cornell, surprisingly, got the final spot in the Ivy League, David, after a really fun game between Princeton and Yale that had Princeton won it, they would have had that spot, but Yale pulled it out in overtime.
and arguably maybe helped themselves out a little bit, or were they already locked in the third? But it was crazy because coming into the day, there were three teams that were locked in and three fighting for one spot that were still alive. So you had six of the eight teams still in play, and it was a pseudo or virtual conference tournament atmosphere since these were elimination games. Cornell getting it done in their game and getting a little help from, as you said, Yale.
Got help from Yale and got help from Harvard as well, who beat Columbia, that which Cornell also needed to happen to get that final spot.
Yeah.
Although that game kind of expected that Harvard would be able to beat Columbia at home. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk more about these games coming up later on in the week. Last thing, John, it was PacWest Championship game, and Cal Baptist had a 17-point first half lead, and something happened.
They did not finish ahead by 17 points, nor did they finish ahead, period, in this one.
Yeah, the team of the people suffering a defeat in the PacWest tournament. But, David, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, and that's why, I mean, that's the only reason Cal Baptist didn't win. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
All right. Then let's go ahead and pull the board down here, and let's go to our survival board instead. How about that?
Sounds good to me. Man, these teams are melting off of it. It seems like it goes so fast. We've lost quite a few. It was a real busy day. There it is, 280. So I think that's upwards of 50 that have come off of this since we started doing these championship week notebooks. And we had a really busy day today. I'm kind of afraid we're getting closer to the 68 and ultimately to the one.
Well, just quickly, when you see various teams in here, like you see the ACC right there, teams that are in bold are locks. That means this is a tool we give to the NCAA selection committee.
Yes.
They know that those bolded teams are teams that are in no matter what. So if Clemson does not win another game, they belong in.
Yeah.
Teams in italics are teams that they should be thinking about maybe giving an at-large bid to. So NC State, maybe, or Notre Dame. If Notre Dame wins the rest of their games all the way to the ACC title game, they may be worth taking a look at.
Right.
Like Pitt, who just completely sucks, they're in regular type, and as soon as they lose in the ACC tournament on Tuesday, they're going to be done.
Yeah. And again, we do this to help the committee. We know they use it. They certainly appreciate it. You know,
we're going to see what happened as a result of today's games here.
Down to 250.
Wow, we lost 30 teams today.
Yeah, I guess that's the busiest day of championship week so far, I think.
So far, but Wednesday and Thursday next week will be when the survival board really starts to get scrubbed down.
Yep.
And look at the Ohio Valley there, David. For the first time, you see a team in bold and all caps. That's Murray State.
That means they're in.
They are locked in. They are an automatic bid winner. If you've been following the board, you see we made some updates here. I think, for example, we locked in Florida today after they blew out Kentucky. So they are now absolutely a lock as well.
Yeah, they are.
What else do we have to do here?
We're getting me out of the bunker is what we're doing. Chad, I've been thinking about these trivia questions, and I think that they're completely wrong.
I got to discuss something first, though, David.
Okay.
The SWAC bracket was also announced today. Here it comes up on the screen right here.
Yeah.
And Grambling's not in it.
Well, which is crazy because I thought we had filed a waiver.
We did file a waiver.
Yeah, and like they said, you needed to submit it online. This is an online show. We showed it online. The NCAA not ruling on anything yet.
I was just thinking, though, David, if you look here, the championship game – as it sits right now, is on Saturday.
This
show's not till Sunday.
Right. So yeah. Okay.
Is we could take that winner. We could still let these eight teams play it out. As long as we get our waiver by Saturday, Sunday afternoon, the winner of this 18 bracket can play the regular season champion Grambling, which is a perfectly legitimate format. Give the regular season champion a bye to the championship game.
Yeah. That is a good format, and maybe we'll hear about it before then. I don't know. Like sometimes it takes them a minute to rule. Although I don't know why it would take them so long to rule on our waiver. I thought it was pretty sure-handed, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean we had a really strong waiver.
Yeah,
Here, I even show it to you again here. It should be up on the screen.
Yeah.
Right about,
there it is. I mean, we have a really strong case. Yeah.
We want to play. Grambling, for the first time in 30 years today, clinched the outright SWAC championship. I'm sorry. They belong in the NCAA. Yeah,
they do.
But you wanted to get to trying to get out of the bunker, right?
Yeah, the truth. Well, your answers are wrong, Chad. I mean, they've been wrong the whole time. I've not gotten a question incorrect yet I'm still in the bunker.
Well, this is the way it works for those of you that haven't been following along. David Griggs is locked in the puppet bunker. He does have a chance every night to get out if he can figure out the answer to.
Why don't we just skip the trivia and just let me out?
No, we've got to follow the rules here. And I even giving you John as an assistant to help you answer the question. And this was one of the more difficult ones, but we saw North Carolina Duke play tonight for the 10 billionth time. And just as a note here, Tyler Hansbrough is the all-time leading scorer for North Carolina. He scored 2,872 career points. J.J. Redick has scored 2,769 points. He's the all-time leading scorer for Duke. The question is, what player holds the all-time scoring record in head-to-head contests between North Carolina and Duke?
Let's see. Well, it's not like – I want to say – read the question again.
What player holds the all-time scoring record in head-to-head contests between North Carolina and Duke? This is the biggest rivalry. And John, you want to help him out here? There was a little bit of a hint there, maybe, talking about Tyler Hansbrough and J.J. Redick.
Yeah. Well, it would be Tyler Hansbrough.
I would probably go the other direction and say J.J. Redick.
But Hansbrough had more points. You didn't say head-to-head competition in this rivalry. You just said head-to-head competition.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's find out who has what the answer is and find out. So you're going with Hansbrough, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's okay. The answer.
Okay. If that's what this says, the answer about this huge rivalry between North Carolina and Duke that's promoted all over the TV is nobody cares.
That's not an answer.
Well, nobody
that. I didn't care.
Scored more points than anybody else in a head-to-head contest between North Carolina.
Well, who cares about Tyler Hansbrough?
You have to be on the lookout for retort.
Right, so I got the answer right. Let me out of here.
David.
Wait, no, I got – nobody cares about Tyler Hansbrough. That's what I answered. I got the answer right. No buzzer. I got it right.
Another day in the puppet bunker for you, Griggs.
It's not fair.
John, any other final thoughts for the evening?
It seems to be a repeat of what happened 2 years ago, but Pepperdine was actually playing with a lame duck coach for the past couple of days, given that Marty Wilson is not going to be returning next year. But at least they didn't handle it like Tulane did 2 years ago when word had leaked out there. Coach was going to be fired during a game that Tulane actually won in the American tournament. So.
And then they won the next game, and it was awesome.
Well, San Diego was also playing without their head coach who had a
– albeit for different reasons.
Right.
David, any other final thoughts from you?
Just, again, looking forward to the championship games tomorrow, especially that Big South game.
I agree. And on that note, I guess on behalf of John Stalica, David Griggs will be back not quite as late tomorrow night, but we will be back sometime late tomorrow evening with our next video notebook. And have a great day, everybody.